But I just feel that what I sensed in my spirit is I want to take you to Jerusalem. So for all those who can see me as I'm standing above Helvellyn, I do apologize. For some reason that just popped up and I can't get rid. But there you go. So I'm going to see if this actually works. Okay, so you should now be seeing the PowerPoint. Is that correct? Yeah, thanks, Julia. And so basically, I'm just going to move it on because what I really feel tonight is we need to show people maybe something that you haven't seen before, and that it needs to. We really feel, particularly with in what David's been sharing there. It needs to be shared. You need to be able to see how, as a nation, Israel come under an awful lot of persecution, and that comes into why we do what we do. And so basically, I've got a thing saying this meeting is recorded. Is there any way to get that off my screen? No? Okay, I'll bear with it. There's a list of some of the projects that we actually do in Israel. But I thought rather than just talk about them all and put up slides on a PowerPoint, I thought I would actually show, if it works, I'm hoping it does, a short film that I've created when we were last out there. For those who don't know us, by the way, my wife, Julia, who's give a word to you. She's and myself, we're working for Christian Friends of Israel. Julie's part-time and full-time. And I've been with Christian Friends of Israel now for, oh gosh, too long. I signed up in 1986, and became sort of like really active in 1995. So 27 years now. And since 2001, I've been full-time doing this. So it's something that's, it's a calling. And many ways we shouldn't do this work if it's not a calling. You need to know you're being called into these areas because, as you'll see, hopefully from this short movie, you can be in a bit of a minefield at times. But I just want to bring you this piece of scripture from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. You'll know it well. It says, comfort and keep comforting my people. This is the complete Jewish version. Comfort and keep comforting my people, says your God. Tell Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, to take heart. Proclaim to her that she has accomplished or completed her time of service, that her guilt has been paid for, and that she's received double at the hands of Adonai, that's the Lord. For our sins. And this is a scripture that I really feel it's a powerful scripture. It's a commanding scripture. It's telling us to be active. It's telling us to do something, to comfort and keep comforting the Lord's people, which is the Jewish people of Israel. So I'm going to take you on a journey now and stop talking because I'll talk through the movie. Is that okay, Jim?
This is David Sokalo of Christian Friends of Israel, and I'd like to take you on a journey to our Jerusalem office and distribution centre. Here you will find the work of Christian Friends of Israel's projects that are administered by our CFI office and DC. Christian Friends of Israel have a variety of projects which are administered in Jerusalem by our CFI Jerusalem staff. However, from the UK, CFI also support a school for the children of believers, the pro-life work in Israel, and several projects to help the Palestinian babies and families. We don't have enough time to go into all the details of everything that we do. However, I hope that we can highlight a few for you here so that you can pray over these issues and support in your own time. around the corner from our Jerusalem office, you will find our Christian Friends of Israel distribution center. Speaking to the nation of Israel, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60 and verses 11 and 54 verse 7, where we read, "Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. With great mercies will I gather thee." And through Project Open Gates, Christian Friends of Israel help a variety of people, as you will see. Project Open Gates serves new Israeli immigrants in their first 3 years in the land. Many arrive at the border of Israel, not knowing what lies ahead of them. And according to the scriptures, it says, "I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back."
This sounds not right.
From the ends of the earth. This is taken from the book of Isaiah 43. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 8, it states, "See, I will bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor." There are a variety of projects that we do to help and serve the Jewish people of Israel. And the Jewish people have come back from all over the world, including Ethiopia. And so Project Hope for the Future is blessing the thousands of Ethiopian Jews. Our motto is from Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loves at all time." And Hope for the Future reaches out to these Ethiopian Jewish communities in the land of Israel. Psalm 72:12 states, "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, and afflicted who have no one to help." Ethiopian immigrants, numbering more than 110,000, face many difficulties adjusting to Israeli society. With the help of Christians from around the world, CFI is able to provide financial and practical assistance to needy Ethiopian families, many of whom are unable to meet even the basic needs of their children and household. Another area that we help Israelis is with Project Community Under Attack. And this is reaching out to the victims of the many rocket attacks that Israel have suffered from. You know, no government in the world would be condemned for defending its civilians from rocket attacks, except maybe Israel. For more than 10 years, the communities of southern Israel have been under repeated attacks by rocket fire from the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip. There is a full-length video on this subject on our CFI YouTube channel if you want to see that. But Israeli civilians have suffered sleepless nights, physical injuries, depression, and severe anxiety. The children suffer many things, including sleeping disorders and nightmares, anxieties, and learning difficulties at school. Younger children even go back to the bottle and have extreme difficulties being separated from their parents. Mayan Hendler lives just 2 kilometres from the Gaza Strip in Israel, and she describes her experience. She states, "It's a quiet place. The education is excellent. The kids can run around freely. Everything is perfect." And then the strikes begin. Suddenly, on a quiet morning, without any warning, you hear Zava Adon, Zava Adon. The whole body just tenses up into a state that's familiar with, a familiar feeling that comes back. Then you run to the bomb shelters, and I was actually outside with my youngest baby, my third child. We ran to the shelter. My other children, the older ones, were still inside the house with my husband. from that moment, everything completely changed. Every little sound, kids were asking, "Mommy, what was that? Mommy, what was that?" I wish, I'm so full of hope, that both sides will just be able to live in peace and quiet. It says in Psalm 143, "Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter." And it also states in Psalm 143, "Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Let's now hear from the Communities Under Attack Project Coordinator, Maggie Hong.
Israel really have gone through a tremendous difficult time because of ongoing terror attack. It is said about 70-80% of civilians have to take an antidepressant medicine so they can function daily. They say, "You don't know me, but you come to help us and love us." We really, really very touched.
Another project is Under His Wings, which is similar to Communities Under Attack. And again, Maggie looks after both of these areas. Under His Wings exists to reach out to terror and trauma victims from bus bombings and other terrorist attacks. We bring comfort and compassion through one-to-one visits and various practical and financial gifts. We desire to be a light in the darkness to many lives in Israel, lives where people have had their families forever torn apart, or where surviving victims are often scarred physically and emotionally for the rest of their lives. Many Israelis end their everyday telephone conversations with the words, "I love you." Why is this, you might ask? Well, it's because activities which are considered normal everywhere else in the world, like getting on a bus or having a cup of coffee with a friend at a cafe, even walking down the street, can be a fatal activity in Israel. Having miraculously escaped a terrorist attack on the bus that I travelled on every day to the C5 office, which was blown up by Hamas on Mexico Street in Jerusalem in 2002, I can relate to what these Israelis have to put up with on a regular basis. See, if I visit with victims at these times, compassionately listen and acknowledge their continuing pain and bring in gifts of financial help whilst conveying the message that we remember, we care, because God cares. Project Forsake the Not is a special project helping needy and sick Holocaust survivors with financial aid and with God's love. The hearts of these precious survivors are still sore from their terrible experience from living in a camp or ghetto during World War II. CFI's dedicated Forsake the Not team reaches out with love and compassion to these dear ones who have suffered so much. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in verses 1 and 2, proclaims, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed." The CFI team are blessed that they can bring love, comfort and gifts. Here's Forsake Them Not project coordinator Olga sharing on this ministry.
Forsake Them Not team reaches out to the Holocaust survivors for over 30 years in the land. Over the years, we built deep friendship, relationship of trust. We build the bridges. And now when we come to our families. We don't just come to visit friends. We come to visit our relatives. And we receive this way from their side as well. We travel all over Israel visiting our precious friends. In past years, we made over 400 visits a year. There are approximately between 12 and 15,000 Holocaust survivors who actually were in the ghetto and camps, concentration camps, during the World War II. And this is people who we are reaching to. We also know when the birthdays of our precious Holocaust survivors are. And over the years, we send thousands of birthday cards to greet them on their birthday. And we write their names by hand. And that handwriting really speaks deeply into the people's hearts. They know they're not just a number, or the number that some of them are having on their hand. Somebody knows them by name. We receive phone calls from our precious friends to express their gratitude. One lady said, "The birthday card you sent me with words of prayer in it brought the presence of God into my day and in my life. The prayer included Psalm 139. It is what we need today to let them know that God of Israel, their Abba, loves them. He knows them by name. He wants to hear what their hearts want to share with him. We encourage our friends to just pour out their hearts. We trust the Lord to direct our steps into every home that needs a visit most. When they hear from us an announcement that we will be coming soon to visit them, they rejoice. They have something to look forward to. They count days. They see the love of God. Many of them are saying, you point us to God. Your prayers mean so much to us. And when we leave, they have something good to dwell on. They remember every word. They remember our prayers.
There are many other projects, such as Streams of Blessings, that help a variety of people in the land of Israel, from the poorest of the poor to various other projects. We also look after the believers in Israel, the household of faith, enabling the pastors in Arab and Jewish congregations in Israel. And all this is backed up with prayer. It says in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. And through Christian Friends of Israel in Jerusalem and through Christian Friends of Israel in the UK, we enable the church to pray for the nation and people of Israel. And through the walls of prayer, there are thousands of believers in over 100 countries praying for every area of the land. Our ongoing commitment to the intercessors is to be their eyes and ears, supplying whatever information we can. And what we're building cannot be seen in the natural, but we believe it's a very powerful wall of prayer in the spiritual realm. There are many other projects that Christian Friends of Israel are involved with, and we don't have time to show them here. But please do visit our website at www.cfi.org.uk, and you will find out so much more.
Okay, so did you all manage to pick up on that and hear that okay? I heard Ricky saying the sound wasn't great. I hope you managed to listen to it. If you struggled with it, you can simply go to the YouTube channel of Christian Friends of Israel UK, and you can see it on there amongst many other areas. So, like I said before the film started, that's the list of some of the areas that we, it's not the full list, but the majority of the areas that we cover. And I don't want to chat for too long, but I just want to pick up on a few different things, specifically what we're doing with the Ukrainians, because obviously this is very much needed at the moment. It's very much in the news. And, you know, Christian Friends of Israel, we were really, really surprised that the Israeli government came to us, to Christian Friends of Israel. We were the first Christian ministry to be asked to help. And possibly it's because as you saw, the head office is at the central bus station. So when anybody's coming in by bus into Jerusalem, you have to come to the Jerusalem bus station. But also we have the distribution center just around the corner from there. And many of these Ukrainian Jews that are coming into the land, fleeing from war, they have to come and stay somewhere. So basically Israel puts them up temporarily in hotels. And again, right where our office and distribution center is, there are a lot of good hotels. And so we're able to minister to them in that way. One of the things that we noted that from the testimonies from the people, the Ukrainian Jewish people, is, you know, a lot of them weren't poor people. But because since these 2 months of Russian attacks, Russian war against this nation, well, you can see it. You've seen it on the news more or less every night. You know, civilians are suffering greatly. And we do speak out against what Russia and Putin are doing. But rather than just speaking out and doing nothing, we know that we can help at least the Ukrainian Jewish families that are coming to Israel. So it's just a few photographs of what the people are receiving. And there's some great photos here. These are quite fresh photographs, which only the other day, yesterday, wasn't it, Julia? We actually did a big Zoom meeting, and we had on a couple of our staff from the Jerusalem office that were giving all the people updates. And some of these pictures really, really speak. Specifically, the lady, as you're looking at it on the right-hand side, she's really, really emotional. And you'll notice she has it in her hand, a Tanakh. That's because everybody who, all the Jewish people, when they come to the Christian Friends of Israel distribution center, they receive a Bible. And it's the scriptures in whatever language they've come from. So in this case, it'll be mainly Russian and Hebrew. And but everybody receives one. And I think with this lady, I don't know the background story to it, but obviously you can see just from her face, she's just so emotional that she's escaped the horrific scenes in the Ukraine. She's come to a country only because she's able to, with her being Jewish, and somebody's given her the word of God. And I think it was just a bit too much for her to actually take in. You'll have noticed a few pictures earlier on. We had, if I could find it. Oh, I haven't got it there, sorry. There's a lot of children also affected by this. And you saw in the video that I did about the Ethiopian Jews coming to Israel. This photo, as you can see, it's got a lot of kiddies in. And do you know, whenever I look at the Ethiopian Jews, I don't see the color of the skin. It's a strange experience because, you know, when people sort of like look at Westernized Jews, they'll say, well, you don't look Jewish. You know, well, what does that mean? You know, do we have to look like ultra-Orthodox Jews? Being Jewish is all different colors, as you can see here. It's how you're born into the Jewish race as such. But you'll notice some a white face in that little group. And that is with the cap, with the letter A on. That's our son, Matthew. And this was taken in 2001 when we were working out there. He was only 6 years old. He's 27 now, so it shows you how old that picture is. But I've often looked at that picture and I've often wondered, what are these children? Well, obviously, they're not going to be children now. They're going to be 27, 28, 29-year-olds, 30-year-olds. What are they doing? I'd love to find out what they're doing. And would they have a testimony that one day they came in touch with a group of believers in Yeshua, Christian Friends of Israel, who helped them? You know, we don't know that the unseen works that go on or the testimonies that could be told. But certainly, I think for me, what touches my heart most of all is the children. And, you know, whether it's Jewish children or whether it's the Arab children, we really need to pray regarding the next generation, specifically when we think of what you saw with the terrorist attacks. At the moment, it's really tough. There's almost like a third intifada, that's an Islamic uprising happening. Mahmoud Abbas is doing his best to create problems with Israel. And you'll have seen it on the Temple Mount and various other places. The terrorist attacks are starting to happen again. And this is because the children, the young Palestinian Arabs, are being fed lies and they're being fed hatred. And we really do need to pray for them. So remember the children in your prayers. I just saw this photograph, and again, it's a young girl, Ethiopian girl. Just look into her eyes. You know, what future is she going to have? We don't know, but we can help her and bless her. You'll have seen that I quickly went over the bridal department that we have at the distribution centre. This is an amazing project as well, because all these bridal garments are sent from Christians from around the world. And we have one of the best bridal departments in Jerusalem. And I just love this photo with a family and Tina, who's got the glasses on at the back. She's a staff member. She looks after the distribution centre. But the joy is on the faces. And again, you can see the younger children that are just loving this. And how about this for a gorgeous photograph? It really got me. I just love it. Tina and a little bridesmaid. And, you know, they've been blessed because Christians want to bless the Jewish people of Israel. I mentioned in the film that the one that's closest to my heart, obviously, is the communities under attack, because I've been there. I've reported many, many times down in Sderot on the Gaza border, and you can see a full film on that. Again, if you just jot it down, www.youtube.com/CFIUK. And there's lots of videos there, but have a look at the communities under attack. You saw a small segment of it in that film, but there is a full version, which is worth watching. Now, to finish, what I'd like to do is share something which I really feel the Lord laid on my heart. And you might be pondering why. Well, I think it comes out, or it will come out, I hope, in a few short statements as to how we need to look to the Lord for him to anoint us so that we can do this ministry. And obviously I'm speaking of we as Christian Friends of Israel, wherever you are called to do in your individual lives, whatever it is the Lord's laid on your heart. You know, whether, like David Burrows was sharing, you know, he's doing a tremendous act of faith in various nations. Whatever it is you feel the Lord's laid on your heart, this should speak to you. So I want to share in closing three Hebrew words. And the first one is Saneh, which simply means the common thorn bush. Now, the picture that you can see, hopefully you can all see this on your screens, the background, the mountains, that's Mount Sinai, which of course was in the area where the burning bush took place with Moses. And when Moses stopped to see that this bush was on fire. What do you think it was that caught his eye? What was it that caught his attention? Because to Moses and to any Israeli, what was on fire was actually a common thorn bush. The common thorn bush is the smallest, most insignificant thorn bush that grow everywhere in Israel, in the Sinai deserts, in the Negev deserts. And you know what? Camels will eat absolutely anything except the common thorn bush. For some reason, they won't eat the common thorn bush. They don't like it. And due to the dryness and the exceptional heat in the deserts, these thorn bushes will self-combust with flames. And yet, generally what happens is they die out within minutes. And then, of course, you see them blowing, being blown by the wind like tumbleweed, like you see in a Western. And I've seen this myself. But the burning bush was different. It was a supernatural phenomenon, which is described in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, that occurred at Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. So ask the question, why did Moses stop to look at this burning bush when it was actually, these things happened continually and still do? What was it that caused Moses to stop and stare? And you can imagine him tending his sheep and his camels and his goats and what have you, and thinking, oh, there goes another bush on fire. You know, I'll sit and watch it before it goes poof and disappears. But it didn't. And so he gets on with his work. You can imagine him tending to his sheep, looks back and it's still on fire. And he's thinking, what on earth's going on? That must be some bush. And then maybe his work's a bit more, and then he looks again, and he's thinking, my word, it's still on fire. Why? So the reason it caught Moses' attention was the fact that it didn't burn out. It kept burning. And that was because God was in the fire. God was the fire within the burning bush. And Moses, in essence, was like a common thorn bush. The nation and people of Israel, in essence, are like a common thorn bush. Even you and me can be compared with the common thorn bush, simply because it's not until the fire of God lights up within us that actually we can be of any real use in the kingdom of God. And here's an interesting thought. The name of the common thorn bush in Latin, not that I can speak Latin, I can't. I did sing in Berlioz Requiem once, I was second verse, and that was all in Latin. And I hadn't got a clue what I was singing, so I had to learn what it was. But in Latin, the common thorn bush, the name of the common thorn bush is Sisyphus Spina Christi. Sisyphus Spina Christi, which means Christ's thorn. Now imagine that for a moment. What was it that put on the head of Jesus, Yeshua, when he was being crucified? The crown of thorns could have been made up from the common thorn bush. The second word is chesed, which means loving kindness, mercy, grace. And in essence, chesed is the defining characteristic of God. I guess the word chesed is best summed up with this. When the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing gives me everything. I'll just say that again. When the person from whom I have a right to expect nothing, which is God, gives me everything. And one of the Hebrew words that is translated refreshed or refresh is a word called nefash. And there is also from the same root nefesh, which means breathe or breathed on. Okay. So is it any wonder that today's self-help experts tell us that the best way to fight stress, something I know a lot about, the best way to fight stress is to take a few long, relaxing breaths, breathe in, breathe out, and chill. And as I mentioned, the very similar word, nefesh, has to do with taking a breath. It refers to the very essence of life itself. Just as God's breath gave life to his creation, that same breath will continue to sustain and refresh nefesh until the day when all those he calls to be his own will be delivered into the eternal presence, body, soul, and spirit. So what's the connection, you might be asking? What's the connection between a sinner, the common thorn bush, the chesed, the loving kindness, and nefesh, being refreshed, or nefesh, the breath? Well, the burning bush happened, as I mentioned, at Mount Horeb, otherwise known as Mount Sinai. And we can only approach God, the mighty rock, because of his chesed. Moses could only approach the burning bush when God said, Moses, and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your shoes off, for the land, the soil you're standing on is holy ground." It was only holy because God was there. And we can only approach God because of his chesed, his loving kindness. And when the person from whom I have a right expects nothing, gives me everything, we can approach him with confidence. And when we meet with God, he then breathes his nefesh, his breath on us. And then we are thus refreshed to do our work. So just try and remember, write them down, those three Hebrew words, because we can't just approach God in any order, even with our prayer. But when we approach him, we can be sure of his loving kindness, his mercy, his grace. And when we approach him, and we'll be approaching him in just under 2 weeks with the festival of Shavuot, which or Pentecost, as the church calls it, we can be praying regarding us being refreshed and breathed upon. So I just want to close with a prayer, if that's all right. And then if you want to ask any questions, I'm happy for you to do so. So let's just ask the Lord to refresh our spirits so that whatever it is he's called us to do, we can do faithfully. Baruch atah Adonai Elchenu Melech HaOlam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, the King of the universe. Father God, we are aware that when the Jewish people pray, they turn their faces towards Jerusalem. Despite King Solomon's awareness that our physical universe cannot contain you, Lord, its creator, Solomon knew that Jerusalem would somehow be a place where man and God could meet. In his prayer in 1 Kings 8 at the dedication of the temple, he asked of you, Lord God, to hear the prayers made towards the temple, the city, and the land of Israel. Furthermore, Solomon asked of you to hear the prayers of foreigners who pray towards Jerusalem in 1 Kings 8. Even when the Jewish people were driven away from the land of Israel, due to their sin. Solomon indicated that they would turn and face the land of Israel. When we read in Daniel 6, though the temple was in ruins and Daniel was far away from Babylon, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. And he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before you. Father, we are aware that when Moses turned to look at that burning bush at Mount Horeb, he could only approach you, the Lord God, the mighty rock, because of your chesed, your loving kindness. And so when we, a people from whom have a right to expect nothing from you, yet you give us everything, we could only fall face down at your feet to worship you. And in that place, Lord, when we meet with you, we know you will breathe your nefesh, your breath upon us, and we are then refreshed to do your work. And so as we turn our faces towards Jerusalem, or as we turn our faces towards anything that you've put a calling on our hearts to do, we ask this Shabbat night that you would breathe your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, upon us. And I would ask, Father, that you would enable us with Christian Friends of Israel to receive that outpouring as well as we work with the people of Israel. Would you pour out on David Burrows the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to do whatever he and Fiona are doing, Lord God, in the weeks ahead. And we pray that each of us would be faithful in our calling. Father, we are painfully aware that the enemy would love for us to be faint-hearted. He would love for us to be lethargic and to cease to pray. And we are also aware that COVID has wearied many. And for sure, in these difficult times, especially with Israel, with the issues of Iran and the Palestinian Liberation Organization or the Palestinian Authority, and Hamas, and the anti-Israel boycott movements, these all weary the saints and weary the people and nation of Israel. So, Father, we pray that both we and Israel would experience a mighty move of the power of the Holy Spirit over this period and beyond. And, Father, we pray for the whole nation of Israel, from the Knesset politicians through to the IDF, to every woman and son, that they would look to you, the Lord their God, to renew their vision. Father, I pray on this Shabbat night, may the nation of Israel turn to you. May the Lord God of Israel anoint them and awaken them. And may they wait upon you and seek your face. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen.